toward hers and leered at him.
"How about it, Benny? You want to save a grown-up for a change?"
"Fine," Ben said politely. "Do tell me when one comes in." Annalene laughed loudly. At the sound of laughter at Vika's expense, Zed surged forward. Like half the gaunt farmhands, the bruiser thought the boss's daughter lit the stars in the sky. With Mullen still at Ben's feet with the tub, Zed grabbed at the shopper's shoulder in righteous indignation. That was when it began. Callie entered through from the livery yard to the right of the group. She carried the bantha prod from the Jabe incident, the latest in a series of items she was returning to the tack room in her ongoing effort to see Ben. She saw her dashing hero all right, standing uneasily with Vika perched lasciviously on the counter with a leg on either side of him. Stunned, infuriated, and long possessed of the view that the wrong Galt twin had died years earlier, Callie raised the bantha prod. Seeing the hate in Callie's eyes, Annalene hurriedly grabbed Vika's collar. As her mother attempted to pull the young woman back from danger, Callie snapped the prod in the direction of Vika's dangling right foot. The next second passed quickly. Annalene saw Ben turn to avoid the prod, raising his right hand ever so slightly. It was at that moment that the prod, which had a patented never-slip grip, flew from Callie's hand. Its electrified tip glanced harmlessly against the counter, missing Vika's boot, and somehow, also, Ben's torso. He turned 90 degrees as the implement fell past his knees to where it finally came to rest, planted vertically into the metal tub that held the rest of Ben's shopping. A metal tub still being held by the hand of Mullen Galt. With a crackling discharge, the device expended its entire energy supply in one tumultuous flash. Mullen screeched louder than the settler's call siren had ever sounded. Startled, Vika fell backward into Annalene. The sudden weight of Vika knocked her feet out from under her, and the two landed in a tangle on the floor behind the counter. Annalene scrambled to extricate herself and rise. The first thing she saw across the counter was Zed, looking stupidly down at Mullen, writhing in agony on the floor. Snarling, Zed charged Ben. The older, smaller man stepped lithely out of the way, sending the lumbering Zed into a display of cans of whitewash. The collision wasn't as loud as Mullen's scream, but it was quite a bit messier. Without a word, Ben turned, bowed slightly to Annalene and Callie, the only other still standing, and slapped a pile of credits on the counter. He grabbed the loaded pillowcase and fled through the door to the livery yard. Bewildered, Annalene hopped onto the counter and jumped to the other side, her boots just missing the writhing, weeping Mullen. Ben's tub of purchases was still there, abandoned. She ran to the doorway, where Callie was calling out after him. But more chaos waited outside. Mullen's electric screech seconds earlier had evidently placed the Jawas under the impression that a Logra, a burrowing predator with a taste for the short merchants, had surfaced inside the store. Now they were ending all transactions and moving their goods back into the sandcrawler to the frantic yells of dissatisfied customers. Two unrelated brawls had broken out. And beyond, past the revving sandcrawler, Ben and Rue rode off toward the desert. Flummoxed, Annalene started to follow to alert him to his forgotten goods. But Herbalee Napti confronted her in the doorway first.
"The little glow-eyed man told me to come talk to you," the Nikto woman said. "Do you work here?"
Chapter 10. Oren sputtered at the comlink.
"I told you not to call me with this garbage."
He tilted his head back toward his landspeeder, trying to make the glance casual. The old man hadn't overheard him. While Ulbrich was still inside the USV-5, enjoying the blast of the air conditioning, Orin doubted that the old skinflint enjoyed anything except counting his money, but that wasn't important. He hadn't come to the farmer's rescue out of friendship or even benevolence. This was a sales call, and Vika had just interrupted it with a strange, disconnected story of chaos in the claim, damage to the store and his son, and some nonsense about Callie's hero. "I don't care who did what," he said into the device, aggravated. The last thing he needed was trouble with Annalene. Once, she had barred the entire Galt employee base from dining at the claim. After a week of lunchbox living, Orin had a mutiny on his hands. There was only one response. "You'll clean up the store, apologize to Annie, and then get out here and finish your shift." He deactivated the comlink. Standing in the suns, Orin looked back at the old man in the land speeder and smiled weakly. Ulbrich still wasn't paying him any mind. The old man had more hair in his face than his head, and yes, Ulbrich was using Orin's comb to straighten his beard. "Lovely," Orin thought, closing the bonnet on Ulbrich's stalled repulsor truck. The battered ST-101 would be able to make it to the claim using the coolant Orin had brought. Now he had to make the favor pay off. "You're ready, Master Ulbrich," Orin said, opening the passenger side door to his land speeder. "Sorry about the delay. I had to take a call." The old man grunted. Orin gave a rumpled smile. "It was just trouble at home. Do you plan on having children a while? I'm 75. "Take my advice," Orin said, grimacing. "Don't. It's safer that way." He offered his hand to help Ulbrich stand up, but the old man ignored it. Ulbrich was still in good shape for his age. He had recently sworn off liquor, after some event Orin knew little about. But Orin attributed Ulbrich's condition more to his having delegated most of the work on his sprawling ranch to an army of farmhands in recent years, instead of toiling in the hot suns himself. Spreading to the south and east of Orin's holdings, Ulbrich's property was more than twice the size, and Orin doubted the man had visited a single one of his vaporators in a decade. It hadn't hurt their production at all. Ulbrich was rolling in wealth he never spent.